Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Be advised, for Pastor Scheidbach, exposing liberal lies and destroying vain philosophies of God-hating, America-despising liberals is like taking candy from a baby. All liberals are hereby cautioned. Pastor Scheidbach is about to rip one or more of your favorite lollipop notions right out of your hand. Uh-oh, too late. A liberal just lost a lollipop. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind. Devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Happy Thanksgiving. And we certainly do have much to be thankful for. While we watch, somewhat bemused, the total meltdown taking place on the left, we are also enjoying some early moves from Trump that look very promising indeed. So far, no Van Jones appointments seem to be forthcoming. What about rumors that enough voters appointed to the Electoral College might flip their state's vote and not vote for Trump? Is that possible? I mean, can they do that? When I warned my friends that Trump has not won yet, that all we have now is a chance to get into the fight, I certainly did not have this in mind. It would be a disaster. It would be downright evil for the Electoral College to flip the vote in their state. Now, I don't see it happening, but good night. This has been the strangest election ever, and don't we all want it to be over? So we'll take a look at that. Then a very loyal and faithful supporter of the Ray Massage Show, who supported Trump from the beginning, predicted the landslide victory right along, and yet endured with grace my constant and sometimes ruthless exposés of Trump's faults and weaknesses, has asked if I, the brain masseur, should feel embarrassed now that Trump has won in a landslide, and especially now that Trump is behaving very well in his first days as President-elect Donald Trump. My answer, today, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Thanksgiving, it's my favorite holiday of the year, right up there with the 4th of July and Easter. Don't get me wrong, I enjoy Christmas too. Recognizing the entrance of the King into the world is an awesome thing to do. But, you know, we have our favorites. My favorites are, I guess pretty much in this order, Easter. By the way, the word comes from Oster, meaning resurrection. And then Thanksgiving, the 4th of July, and then Christmas. And, of course, I'm not saying Christmas is my least favorite. No, it ranks up there with my most favorites. But anyway, my least favorite would probably be President's Day, especially ever since they made it to include all presidents, like Clinton and Obama and some of these others. Let's consider what we have to be thankful for. We woke up in America, waking up on Wednesday morning. Praise God. Most of you don't need me to tell you how close we came to being dropped into the maw of hell with all those nations that forget God. But we begged for mercy. We got it. And as the Lord, who turns the heart of kings, Proverbs 21:1, has found it agreeable to his pleasure to turn the heart of the president-elect Donald Trump toward what is right on the right, well, we can be grateful indeed. I mean, for example, his decision to set Rhino Christie aside from leading his transition team and then to put Pence in that position. That was a great move. Another thing for which we can be thankful for is that we don't have Fiorina as VP. As I've said many times, Pence, probably the best reason to support Trump. Jeff Sessions as Attorney General, watch out, Hillary. Maybe Hillary's recent public appearances, you know, looking something like a drowned rat, is a pity ploy, seeing on the horizon what's coming. Hillary needs to face justice not for political issues, but for her criminal behavior. After a trial in which all the facts are brought out, she should face the consequences of her misdeeds. And Sessions is a sort of man who I think would be honest, thorough, and diligent in the pursuit of justice. Great pick. Tea Party Congressman from Kansas, Mike Pompeo. I guess that's how you pronounce his name, I'm not sure. Pick for CIA director from Wall Street Journal. Quote, after graduating from West Point, Mr. Pompeo served as a cavalry officer patrolling the Iron Curtain before the fall of the Berlin Wall, and he served with the 2nd Squadron, 7th Cavalry, in the 4th Infantry Division, according to the biography of his congressional website. He went to Harvard after he left active duty, later returning home to Kansas to run two small businesses before he was elected to the House in 2010 as part of the Tea Party wave. He is a member of the Energy and Commerce Committee and the House Intelligence Committee, and he was a member of the special committee investigating the 2012 attacks on the diplomatic compound in Benghazi, Libya. Now, Mr. Pompeo would take the reins of the CIA. As Mr. Trump said on the campaign trail, he wanted to bring back the practice of harsh interrogation methods, including waterboarding and quote, a bleep of a lot worse, as well as refilling the prison at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, with prisoners, end quote. Wow. I think you agree with me. That would send a strong message to the terrorists, or should send a strong message to the terrorists and those over there messing around in Syria and in Iraq, calling themselves ISIS, and to the Muslim Brotherhood and to the Benghazi duo, Obama and Hillary. Mike Flynn as National Security Advisor, a decorated combat veteran who retired with 3 stars. Feared by the Democrats, by the way, because of his fierce and open opposition to what he called the policy, Obama's policy of coddling the terrorists. Now, he's been called America's angriest general. He says fearing Muslims is a rational thing, given the current situation with terrorists worldwide, and he believes we should join Russia in dealing with ISIS. Now, this man's a registered Democrat, by the way. He worked in Obama's administration as chief of the Defense Intelligence Agency, and then Obama fired him when he refused to support Obama's agenda, although it was pretended that he was fired because he was a bad manager. Anyway, another great pick for Trump, at least insofar as building a team that will aggressively go after ISIS and put some real teeth in our efforts to deal with terrorism and terrorists. And by the way, with a proper definition of what a terrorist is, you know, not Christians who oppose tyrannical government, but anyway. As for Bannon, he's the fellow that ran Breitbart for a while, and he's rather Alex Jones-ish, you know, and along with that mentality, that mindset. How these guys will use what they call clickbait headlines to attract audience. And he did that quite often while working at Breitbart. And that's where they're getting these allegations that he's racist and all this bigoted and so on. It's nonsense. The headlines were provocative and taken by themselves. It is understandable someone would get the wrong idea about the article. And I should say, in my view, that's being dishonest. I've had more than one occasion to go back into our website and tweak a headline that I've created in order to avoid it even inadvertently sounding sensational or giving misdirection with regard to the content of the show. On the other hand, this guy has bona fide conservative creds, and obviously he knows something about strategy. So regarding the job he was given, it looks to me like it was a good pick. The current squabble over whether Giuliani or Bolton should get the Secretary of State position, well, we'll see where that goes. I root for Bolton, personally. I don't think Giuliani, however, would be a particularly bad choice, but I think Bolton would be better. Then let's remember what Trump promised us that he would do in his first 100 days. And I think we can be greatly encouraged by what we are seeing so far, indicating that he's going to follow through on these promises. I sure hope so. Let's go through it. First, he said he would propose a constitutional amendment to impose term limits on all members of Congress. Man, that's a long time coming. That should have been done a long time ago. Second, a hiring freeze on all federal employees to reduce federal workforce through attrition, exempting the military, public safety, and public health. Very good. Third, a requirement that for every new federal regulation, 2 existing regulations must be eliminated. Now, I'm all for that. That kind of arbitrary approach to this sort of thing, though, is problematic. But hey, I'm all for reducing regulation, that's for sure. Fourth, a 5-year ban on White House and congressional officials becoming lobbyists after they leave government service. That is an excellent idea. Fifth, a lifetime ban on White House officials lobbying on behalf of a foreign government. Oh, yeah, that's a no-brainer. Sixth, a complete ban on foreign lobbyists raising money for American elections. Very, very good. This goes on to say that on the same day, Trump says, I will begin taking the following 7 actions to protect American workers. First, I will announce my intention to renegotiate NAFTA or withdraw from the deal under Article 2205. Good. Second, I will announce our withdrawal from the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Very good. Third, I will direct my Secretary of the Treasury to label China a currency manipulator. That's a good idea. I will direct the Secretary of Commerce and U.S. Trade Representative to identify all foreign trading abuses that unfairly impact American workers and then direct them to use every tool under American and international law to end those abuses immediately. Amen. Fifth, I will lift the restrictions on the production of $50 trillion worth of job-producing American energy reserves, including shale, oil, natural gas, and clean coal. Oh, yeah. Sixth, he said he would lift Obama-Clinton roadblocks and allow vital energy infrastructure projects like Keystone Pipeline to move forward. Oh, yeah. Seventh, he said he would cancel billions in payments to UN climate change programs and would use the money to fix America's water environmental infrastructure. Very good. Additionally, on the first day, Trump said he would take the following five actions to restore security and the constitutional rule of law. First, cancel every unconstitutional executive action, memorandum, and order issued by President Obama. Oh, yeah. Second, begin the process of selecting a replacement for Justice Scalia from one of the 20 judges on my list who will uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States. Oh, yes. I tell you, we have much to be thankful for. This is the man that's president, that's the president-elect right now. Third, cancel all federal funding to sanctuary cities. Well, amen. Fourth, begin removing the more than 2 million criminal illegal immigrants from the country and cancel visas to foreign countries that won't take them back. Very good idea. Fifth, suspend immigration from terror-prone regions where vetting cannot safely occur. All vetting of people coming into our country will be considered extreme vetting. Very good. Exactly. Common sense. This is what needs to be done. Next, I will work with Congress to introduce the following broader legislative measures and fight for their passage within the first 100 days of my administration. And he lists these: middle class tax relief and Simplification Act. Yeah. And the trillions of dollars of American corporate money overseas can now be brought back at a 10% rate. This is brilliant. This is exactly what needs to be done. End the Offshoring Act. Establishes tariffs to discourage companies from laying off their workers in order to relocate in other countries and ship their products back to the U.S. tax-free. Now, quite frankly, I have some questions about that. I have some questions about the legality of that. I have some questions about the constitutionality of an act like this. I have some questions about the implications in the area of freedom and liberty and things like this that are kind of in that language. But we'll see where that goes. American Energy and Infrastructure Act leverages public-private partnerships and private investments through tax incentives to spur $1 trillion in infrastructure investment over 10 years. School choice. There you go. An Education Opportunity Act. Oh, God help us here. This is where we're losing this country, right here in the education. Redirects education dollars to give parents the right to send their kid to the public, private, charter, magnet, religious, or homeschool of their choice. Perfect. It ends Common Core, brings education supervision to local communities. Oh, yeah. It expands vocational and technical education and make 2- and 4-year college more affordable. Absolutely perfect. That's exactly what we need. Repeal and replace Obamacare. I am excited that he's moving forward, will move forward, we trust, within the first 100 days to fully repeal Obamacare and replace it with health savings accounts and the ability to purchase health care insurance across state lines and let states manage Medicaid funds. That's exactly what should be done. Reforms will also include cutting the red tape at the FDA. There are over 4,000 drugs awaiting approval, and we especially want to speed the approval of life-saving medications. And then Affordable Child Care and Elder Care Act. This allows Americans to deduct child care and elder care from their taxes, incentivizes employers to provide on-site child care services, and creates tax-free dependent care savings accounts for both young and elderly dependents with matching contributions for low-income families. And then he goes on to say, End Illegal Immigration Act fully funds the construction of a wall on our southern border with the full understanding that the country, Mexico, will be reimbursing the United States for the full cost of such wall. I'm not sure how he's going to make that happen, but it would be great if he could make it happen. It establishes a 2-year mandatory minimum federal prison sentence for illegally reentering the United States after a previous deportation. There you go. And a 5-year mandatory minimum for illegally reentering for those with felony convictions, multiple misdemeanor convictions, or 2 or more prior deportations. Also reforms visa rules to enhance penalties for overstaying and to ensure open jobs are offered to American workers first. And then he goes on, Restoring Community Safety Act. reduces surging crime, drugs, and violence by creating a task force on violent crime and increasing funding for programs that train and assist local police, increases resources for federal law enforcement agencies and federal prosecutors to dismantle criminal gangs and put violent offenders behind bars. Yeah. Restoring National Security Act. This rebuilds our military by eliminating the defense sequester and expanding military investment. Provides veterans with the ability to receive public VA treatment or attend the private doctor of their choice. There you go. Protects our vital infrastructure from cyber attack. Establishes new screening procedures for immigration to ensure those who are admitted into our country support our people and our values. And then clean up corruption in Washington Act. There you go. Enacts new ethics reforms to drain the swamp and reduce the corrupting influence of special interests on our politics. Oh, yeah. See, all of that's great. And he went on to say, this is my pledge to you. This is what I want to see. And you know what? I'm thankful today. I'm coming into my Thanksgiving holiday with a grateful heart. I'm praising God that he gave us a president who will pursue these changes and these corrections. This will be a course correction of a magnitude that's almost mind-boggling. But this will certainly be a turning of the ship in the right direction, thank God. My friends, we can be grateful. Hold on to the break. I'll be right back.
The science of a brain massage. The brain masseur uses words like fingers to massage your gray matter, forming insights in the mind that stimulate the pituitary to signal the adrenal to release noneparephrine neurotransmitters and to fire these neurons through the sympathetic nervous system affecting the heart. The skilled brain masseur uses incisive logic to arrest our attention and nuanced razor-sharp rhetoric to cut away the tangled knots in our brains. When these knots are removed, the electrical impulse of stimulating insights fire the neurotransmitters so they can leap the synapse gaps. This generates a sparkling effect in the brain that can cause the countenance of a brain massage listener to glow. Additionally, sudden outbursts of energy caused by the release of glucose throughout the body increases the heart rate, while the pituitary gland in the brain releases all five types of dopamine at once. And this creates that sense of euphoria experienced by many brain massage listeners. And that's the science of a brain massage. We Christians complain when our political leaders compromise their values, show contempt for the truth, and forsake the beliefs of our founders. Yet many Christians compromise their own values and beliefs to stay in churches that have forsaken their founders. The fact is, Christian, you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Haven't you noticed that every corruption we complain about in our government began in our churches? The answer is clear. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Jeremiah 6:16. Lighthouse Baptist Church has answered the call to return to the old paths. Will you? Join us this Sunday. Call 805-347-9887 or go to santamarialighthouse.org for more information. Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheibach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind men's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. The Thought Provocateur is available on the web. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheibach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Can those sent to vote in the Electoral College change the vote of the state that sent them? Now this, I'm giving you from the National Archives, which I think it's fair to say is an official statement on this question. Quote, there is no constitutional provision or federal law that requires electors to vote according to the results of the popular vote in their states. Some states, however, require electors to cast their votes according to the popular vote. These pledges fall into two categories, electors bound by state law and those bound by pledges to political parties. Now, the statement goes on to say, the U.S. Supreme Court has held that the Constitution does not require that electors be completely free to act as they choose, and therefore, political parties may extract pledges from electors to vote for the party's nominees. Some state laws provide that so-called faithless electors may be subject to fines or may be disqualified for casting an invalid vote and be replaced by substitute electors. The Supreme Court has not specifically ruled on the question of whether pledges and penalties for failure to vote as pledged may be enforced under the Constitution. No elector has ever been prosecuted for failing to vote as pledged. And he goes on, finally, today it is rare for electors to disregard the popular vote by casting their electoral vote for someone other than their party's candidate. Electors generally hold a leadership position in their party or were chosen to recognize years of loyal service to the party. Throughout our history as a nation, more than 99% of electors have voted as pledged, end quote. Now, look at this in our current environment. We know that some electors have been attempting to recruit others to flip their vote. Now, we know that these efforts are extraordinary in this particular election, or at least that's the way it seems to be shaping up. I mean, in other words, they're more aggressive than they have been in the past. We also know that there are some states that have made no provision controlling the vote of electors, something like 20 states. I think it is 30. Yeah, it'd be 20 states because 30 states we know have laws that require electors to vote according to the results of the election in their state. Now, these are Alabama, Alaska, California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, District of Columbia, Florida, Hawaii, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Mississippi, Montana, Nebraska, Nevada, New Mexico, North Carolina, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon, South Carolina, Tennessee, Utah, Vermont, Virginia, Washington, Wisconsin, and Wyoming. And that leaves 20 other states that have no such law. However, in most of those, the vast majority of them, in fact, it's true that in 48 of our 50 states, the prevailing party, the winning party, in that state is the one who selects the electors. So in order to change the outcome of the general election, well, you'd have to find enough faithless electors or others willing, the few states willing to go against their state's vote. And that seems very difficult to achieve. It's never happened before, even in those elections that were hotly contested, as in 2000, where you did have one elector turn in a blank ballot. So it's true that in the past, electors have occasionally violated their state's law, even binding them to a pledge vote. And this is a misdemeanor for which the elector pays a fine, usually $1,000. Now, some constitutional scholars believe electors remain free agents, according to the Constitution, and that laws intending to require them to vote according to the results of their statewide election would be ruled unconstitutional if it was challenged. So, you know, in this contentious election, I suppose it is at least remotely possible the election could be undermined by faithless electors or those few who might decide to exercise their independence and vote for another candidate, or, as happened in 2000, cast a blank ballot, that is, refuse to vote. And, you know, that, by the way, was premised on the same sort of argument being raised today, that Hillary has won the popular vote, although we wonder how much this suddenly, all of a sudden, the surge in popular vote shows up after the election was called. Makes you wonder if they're not tapping in to some of their voter fraud resources, if you know what I mean. Now, but right now, I don't have time to explain the virtues and the importance to our representative republic that we maintain and support the Electoral College. Right now, I've done it several times in the past. Maybe next week, if this continues to be an issue, or if by some dark turn of events, this nefarious effort actually gains traction, well, then I will address the Electoral College and its importance to our representative republic. My call on this is that it would be just absolutely wrong. And friend, we need to pray that this does not happen. All right, I need to turn toward a conclusion here. Now, I have been asked by a friend, truly a friend, a loyal supporter of the Ray Massage Show, a partner in this ministry, and an all-around great guy, whether I think I should be embarrassed by my repeated statements leading up to this election that Trump could not beat Hillary. And in light of the surprise upset of the century that occurred, I think that is a reasonable question. So my answer to this is an unequivocal, not at all. No, I'm not embarrassed about me thinking what almost everyone else thought I mean, I think I said once, short of a miracle or short of an intervention from God. And I believe that's what we had, and I believe that's what explains it. But I'll tell you what does embarrass me. I am embarrassed by the fact that conservatives have been willing now to step away from two important moral issues facing this country today. And I need you to listen to me right now. And that is abortion and same-sex marriage. There is not one thing in Trump's list that we read earlier that at least three of the other candidates would not have also done. All right? They would have also championed the same thing. Only they would have done it without us having to compromise on what I believe, and this is heartfelt. Now listen, what I believe are the two most important fundamental issues, moral issues, confronting the country today. And both of these, by the way, these two, are presented in Scripture as reasons that God judges a nation. And these are the shedding of innocent blood and the abomination of homosexuality. Now, as you know, my prayer has been that God will give us a reprieve, a stay of execution of the judgment we deserve. And I think we've gotten that in Trump. And if he does what he promised, then we will end up with a Supreme Court primed to overturn Roe. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And possibly also this same-sex marriage nonsense. Even though Trump actually, in his beliefs, undermines the pro-life position with his idea that you could kill the baby if it's conceived by rape or incest. And of course, he's definitely not our friend on the same-sex marriage issue. Aside from that, a Trump presidency is something we can look forward to with hope for change. You know what I mean? And the pun is intended. Listen, what we're looking at today are things for which we can be deeply, deeply grateful on this Thanksgiving holiday. The Lights On Banquet that we usually host in November. I thought I had communicated this clearly to my audience, and apparently I didn't do an adequate job on that, because we did have a family actually show up expecting the banquet, and I just learned about this the other day. And listen, for all of you who were anticipating the Lights On Banquet in November, remember, a few shows back, I mentioned that we've changed the plan. We're going to push it forward now in the next year. It's going to be a super duper banquet. And we're trying to work it out so we can coordinate it with a gun show. A gun show and a Second Amendment rights Sunday. And so that's what's in the works. And there's some complications involved in getting that done. And so consequently, I need more time. And that's what we're going to do. All right. Now, I've lit the lamps at Church Bar for Arch. You call and let me know you see that they are on. So give me a call, 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. Or email me. You can go to thebrainmassageshow.com. You'll find a place there to email to me. And please do so. I'd love to hear from you. And I respond to all my email communication. If you're in a hurry when you call, just say lights on, lights off, and hang up. But if you will, please leave a message for me and let me know what you think of the show, positive or negative. Either way, God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheibach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind men's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Need a brain massage? We've got one waiting for you right now. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com. You can't put a price tag on the truth, but there is a price tag to broadcast it. You can help. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturday at 12 noon